Yes, you're very welcome. We thank you for your presence in the meeting this evening. And we do give you a warm welcome. We are here to preach the gospel, to listen to the word of God. And we would state again at the commencement of this meeting, this is not our words. This is the word of God. And what we preach in the meeting this evening is what God would have you to know. So it behoves you to listen, but pay heed to what God says. The word of the Bible often uses a word, hearken, which doesn't just mean that you hear, but it means that you obey. You do what God requires of you. Now we'll sing another hymn, please. I probably should sort these things out before the meeting instead of lumping them on you, but 453 in the hardcover book. Do we know a tune for that? No longer wait, my brother. Even now, God's Spirit seeks an entrance to your heart. Come to the cross and to the Saviour bow. Unbar the door. Make haste, lest he depart. O sinner, come to Christ, the living way. Still he is pleading, why not come today? Well, perhaps we will read the hymn through. I will start again at verse 1. You can read with me. No longer wait, my brother, even now. God's Spirit seeks an entrance to your heart. Come to the cross and to the Saviour bow. Unbar the door. Make haste, lest he depart. No longer wait, O sad and troubled soul. His pardoning grace he offers free to all. O weary one, that grace will make you whole. O why not hear the loving Saviour's call? No longer wait. The Lord your God hath said, I will not strive forever with your heart. O come, ere yet the spark of life has fled, and thou hast failed to choose the better part. O sinner, come to Christ the living way. Still he is pleading, why not come today? A lovely gospel hymn full of truth from that which we're going to preach now from the scriptures. But before we do, we want to turn to the Lord for a word of prayer. Our God and our Father, we come into thy presence again, and with thankful hearts that the day of grace has been extended until now. Thankful, Father, that we can still preach the gospel. We know there's coming a day, Father, soon for us as Christians when we will never preach the gospel again. And the door of opportunity will be closed forever. And so our prayer, Father, tonight is that souls in this meeting who are not saved would hearken, pay heed, and come to the Lord Jesus even now. Father, help them not to wait. Cause them to see the solemnity, the seriousness, yet the beauty and the wonder of what it is to trust Christ. These things we ask as we turn to thy word. We ask for help in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn with me, please, to the New Testament again, and the first book in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 7. The first book in the New Testament, and Matthew chapter 7. We'll take our reading from verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. If we were to read down from where we've read in verse 13 down to the end of the chapter, we would find it broken up into five sections. In all of these sections we find twos, and the Bible speaks about them very clearly. In the little section that we've read together, it concerns the pathway of life. Every individual in this meeting this evening is on the pathway of life. That commenced at the moment of conception from your mother's womb. Then when God brought you into existence, there are many children who are in heaven as we speak. They never literally got onto the outside of the womb and onto the pathway of life as we know it, but their existence commenced at the moment of conception, and they became a living being before God. Every person from the moment of conception lives and exists to meet their Creator. But you're in this meeting this evening. You're on in the pathway of life. Some of you further than others. I don't know just where you are. I don't know your circumstances or your background. But we've been saying in these meetings, we preach to you the God of heaven, who knows all about you. He knows exactly where you are, what you've been doing, what you're engaged in, what your prospects are, what your ambitions are, your aspirations. God knows all about you. We've said in these meetings over the last 2 weeks, God not only knows all about you, has an intimate interest in you. He sent his Son to be your Savior. He saw the very desperate position that you find yourself in because of sin, separated from God. And he intervened in the most marvelous way. But every night in the gospel preaching over the last 2 weeks or so, we've sought to tell you that the responsibility is with you to repent and come to Christ. The provision has been made by God that you might be saved, that you might be rescued from sin and the pathway that leads to destruction, as it tells us in these verses here. There has been a full provision made for you, and every man, woman, that ever stands before God in a coming day will be without excuse. For God has made very evident provision for the human race to be reconciled to God through the death of his Son. In these verses that we've read together, it concerns your pathway. If we were to read in the next little section, it would concern two identities. You see, we found here two gates which open out into two pathways. Upon those pathways of life, there's two very different groups of people. They're heading in two very different directions, and at the end there's two very different destinies. If we were to move into the next little section, we would see that there's two identities. The Lord says that there are people and they put on a disguise, but inwardly they're nothing what they profess or what they would show outwardly. Inwardly, he says, they're ravening wolves. Now it's for you to analyze yourself in the meeting tonight. God already knows all about you. But you may be able to put on a show to the Christians or to the neighbors or to the people who you know. But one thing we have to be sure of in this meeting, you cannot put on a show before God. You can't pull the wool over God's eyes. Two identities. The Lord moves on in his teaching. He speaks not only about two pathways of life, two types of people that might be two types of identities to do with your person, but he moves on and he speaks about produce that you're showing in your life. You see, there's two trees he speaks about and two types of fruit. A good tree and a bad tree, with good fruit and bad fruit. He uses an illustration. He says, you see, from grapes you don't get thorns. You don't collect grapes from thorns. Grapes in the Bible is the symbol of joy. Thorns is the symbol of the curse because of sin. And you see, when we come to the scriptures, God makes it absolutely clear. In your sin, you'll not know anything about joy, true joy. You'll not know anything about what it is to have a living, loving relationship with the Lord. And the Lord, he brings a conclusion and he says, look, by their fruits you shall know them. A very, very telling statement. Again, many people say they're a Christian. It's an easy thing to say you're a Christian. You can just say it like that. Some people say that they live in a Christian country and that constitutes them to be a Christian. Friend, read the Bible. The Lord spoke to people, I want to tell you, they had absolute understanding of what he said, and by the end of it, they trembled in their boots. They were astonished at this man's doctrine. He spoke with one having authority. Friend, in the meeting this evening, you can't hide from God. You can't deceive God. God knows all about you. You see, the longing of God's heart in the preaching of the gospel is not that you would come under judgment, but that you would be saved and rescued from the pathway of sin, which is of sorrow and misery and leads to an end of destruction, the Lord Jesus says. No hope, no future, no destination. Oh, friend in the meeting, analyze your life before God. I remember again the very week I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior and sitting under the sound of some ministry. That's Bible teaching for Christians. And as I sat under the sound of this ministry, I remember the brother saying, what have you got to show God for your life? He was speaking in terms of the Lord Jesus coming to call away the Christians. He said, what have you got to show God? I want to tell you, though I've been a Christian just for a few days, I sat in the seat and I remember, friend, the tears tumbling down the cheeks. I had nothing to show God for my life. Nothing. Wasted years. What have you got to show God? Do you know God in the meeting? Do you know Christ as your Savior? James, the man at the end of the Bible, he writes a book and he says he's not interested in just what comes out of your lips. He's interested in your life. Oh, friend, in the meeting this evening, God's interested in your life. So vitally, he's made every provision for you to have a living, loving relationship with him that you may go on your way rejoicing to glory. The wonderful God of heaven. He could have just left us alone in our sin, in our sorrow and in our misery, to go on a pathway which is the broad road that leads to destruction. I notice here it says, enter ye in at the straight gate, For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And listen to what it says, friend. Many there be that go in thereat. I'm speaking to individuals in this meeting this evening. And you're responsible and you can understand what I'm saying. We trust that we make things plain and clear. Friend, you're a responsible adult. You're a person at the age of understanding. You can clearly hear what the Word of God is teaching you here. There is a great big wide open gate, and there are many that consciously and willingly go in at this gate. You see, I'm speaking to you this afternoon. I'm speaking to your heart this afternoon, and you've made a conscious decision in life to rebel and go against God and go your own way. You know that. I don't have to tell you that. The Word of God is clear and plain. You know the masses are on this road. You know that you've got great company. You know that there are great things that go on to keep people entertained on this great big broad road, wide enough for all the opinions of men. You need not to feel afraid with these people. You need not look out of place. You can just blend in with the masses as they all crowd in on the broad road. But what I want to get across to you is this. You've made a conscious decision to commence the broad road. You see, the Bible would teach that there are those who are disabled. That means they're not mentally able to make conscious decisions for themselves. And the Bible would teach that very little children who are not able to make decisions for themselves, who enter into death, they're in heaven, and there's provision made for them. But I'm not talking to you in this meeting this evening. I'm not talking to you who are too young to understand. I'm not talking to you in this meeting who are unable to understand. I'm talking to you. Consciously, you can hear the message of the Word of God. You know that there's a great big wide gate, and with a conscious decision before God Himself, you've made your way out onto the broad road to navigate your little ship through the seas of life. And you want to row your own boat, and you want to go your own way, and that's the way you've been going on the broad road till now, friend. I want to tell you, friends, there are people on this... No, I'll come to that in a moment. But you're on the broad road. Look at the Word of God. It says it leads to destruction. It leads to destruction. Though it may seem great and broad enough for all the opinions of men, though it is, and though you may feel comfortable on this broad road and not out of place because you're there with the masses, friend, the message of the gospel is that look at the end. If we were to turn back to one of the Psalms, Psalm 73, we would find there in that Psalm, there was a man, his name was Asaph, and he was looking at the wicked people. He seemed to say to himself, this man, in effect, was a Christian. He was a child of God. And he looked at his life, and he looked at the life of the wicked people, and he said, the wicked people, in effect, they're so strong. They don't have the problems that I do. They seem to be so successful in life. They seem to be so prosperous. They seem to be having such fun, great big parties as they go along. They don't seem to be hankered, and they don't seem to be hampered in life in any way. And he started to wish he was like the wicked people. Do you know what changed his mind? Do you know what caused him to think differently? He says he saw the end of those people. He got into the sanctuary before God. He got into the presence of God. He saw the end of those people and the end of those people. Listen to what the words of the psalmist says, Asaph in Psalm 73. He said, their end are utterly consumed by terrors. Friend, if only you knew what it was like. If only a soul from hell could just call to you and tell you of what that place is like. They continued on the broad road thinking they were having fun, thinking they were going on in life, thinking they were prosperous. And in this moment, great big strong muscled men, great big strong opinionated women who didn't need God in their life are now utterly terrified. Because the end of their way led to destruction. But the Lord Jesus is bringing teaching here. He says, though there's that way, he says, the compelling of message of the gospel is this: enter ye in at the straight gate. Enter ye in at the straight gate. This straight gate, we notice, enters out into a little narrow way. This narrow way, it leads to life, and it says, few there be that find it. Have you ever wondered why there's not very many people in a gospel meeting like this meeting this evening? You know, I just wonder. In fact, we did a little bit of advertising for the gospel once. And at the top of the advertising of the leaflet we were giving out, there was a little question. It just said, free money, question mark. Now that got people to, they looked down at the invitation, and this was the question that was asked. If we were giving away $1 million at the CWA halls this Sunday afternoon, would you come? Well, if we were giving away a million dollars at the gospel hall here this afternoon at Mornington, do you think there would be many people that would come? I think the place would be so tightly packed you wouldn't find a seat. I think they would be spilling out of the doors. Giving away $1 million. But listen, friend, something that far exceeds $1 million. Something which is not only for time, but out to the great eternity, prepared to meet God because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished. Knowing God as your Savior. Knowing what it is to have the forgiveness of sins because Christ has paid the price for you. He's been raised from the dead. He ever lives as a glorious Savior. To know Christ as your personal Savior. Listen to what the poet says. To wake in the morning with thoughts of his love, who's living for me in the glory above. Each moment expecting he'll call me away. And that keeps me bright for the rest of the day. And you're in your sin. And it leads to destruction. But there's a way that's narrow and leads to life. I want to tell you, my dear friends in the meeting this afternoon, any Christian, true Christian in this hall this afternoon will tell you they never regret the day they trusted Christ. A wonderful moment in a person's experience. But if we saw there's two pathways, two types of people, two identities, two sets of produce in the good fruit and the bad fruit. I want to notice that in this another little section, on these pathways, there's two groups of people. You see, on the broad pathway, there's a group of people, and they talk about the Lord Jesus. And they call themselves Christians. Oh, hang on a minute, I thought you just said the broad pathway, that leads to destruction. It does. Or why would you say that there's a type of people on that broad pathway leading to destruction that calls themselves Christians? Well, I can tell you what the Lord Jesus said about them. He said they don't just call themselves Christians. They don't just address me as Jesus. They in fact say, Lord, Lord. This group of people that are on the broad pathway that leads to destruction, they would not only tell themselves and maybe tell other people that they're Christians, they would say, Lord, Lord, but they're not Christians and they're on the broad way that leads to destruction. He's spoken about them already. Inwardly, they're ravening wolves. They're continuing a lifestyle of sin. Their produce in life, their fruit is bad fruit. It's been told forth plainly upon the page of Scripture. And now these people, they say, Lord, Lord. He says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Listen, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Could I ask you this afternoon, are you doing the will of the Father which is in heaven? Does it delight you to do the will of God who is in heaven? Delight to adhere to the word of God? Is there nothing more that you want in life than just to be obedient to God's word? Why? Because he's your all in all. And Christ means everything to you. He sacrificed his very life. He came from the glorious splendor on high. Why? To pay the ultimate price for sin. And that just means everything to you this afternoon. Sit on the seat. And there's nothing more that you want than just to do the will of the Father which is in heaven. I tell you, friend, that's a Christian. Is that you? Are you a Christian? A Christ one? Or do you want to be found in heaven? And like myself, I wanted my sin at the same time. Friend, make no mistake about it. Be warned of God in this meeting this afternoon. There are many, many. That's in the big group on the broad road that will say in a coming day, Lord, Lord, open unto us. Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus. I never knew you. Do you know Christ in the meeting this afternoon? Do you know him as your Savior? Is he your Lord and you're following him through life? You've nailed your allegiance to the cross. You've found satisfaction in Christ. Friend, you are want nothing more than to do the will of God. But this afternoon, are you playing around the fringes? What's it going to take for you to be awoken to see this great group of people in the coming day, and they cry out in urgency, Lord, Lord, and there's no entrance for them to the kingdom. The door is shut. You see, twice they say, Lord, Lord, that's another two upon the page of Scripture. And then twice the Lord Jesus speaks about these people. He says, many that say to me, Lord, Lord, that's in time. Many that say, Lord, Lord. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. That's in time. Not everyone today that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom. But then he points forward to the very day at the commencement of eternity. And there they are knocking on the door, this same group of people. And he says, at that time too, they'll tell me, Lord, Lord, we've done this and that and the other. I never knew you. Why? What was the key? You were not doing the will of the Father which is in heaven. Oh, friend, that this afternoon you would repent of your sin. Come to Christ. He goes on for this last little section of teaching. He speaks about a position that you find yourself in. You're either building upon the rock the rock of Christ, or you're building upon the shifting sands of time that will fade away, fizzle away, fall away from under your feet, and you'll be found stranded, friend. You'll be found without Christ, without a Savior, without a refuge, without an eternal home, to hear the words from the judge himself, to hear the words from God, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." Oh, friend, don't go down to hell having heard the gospel. We've been preaching for 2 weeks every night. Why do we preach? Because we long to see you come to the Saviour. Because we long to see you saved. Because we long to see you really enjoying life, satisfied, going on doing the will of God, and knowing what it is in your heart to rejoice, full of joy. Oh, friend, you'll lay your head upon the pillow, abundantly satisfied, eternally satisfied, sins forgiven, eternal life. One thing that I always struggle with, I never like to finish a gospel series, and I know Len doesn't either. One thing I always struggle with is finishing the preaching when I'm finishing a gospel series. I just long to be able to continue preaching to you, just to know that you're saved. But there came an end to the teaching of the Lord Jesus. There's come an end to my preaching in Dunedin at this present time. I've had to close the Bible. And I'm going to get off the little platform here. My voice may never lift in Dunedin again with the preaching of the gospel. But where are you, friend? Are you saved? Will I see you in the glory? Or will you go down to hell because you did not the will of the Father which is in heaven?